I'd like to thank Arya Kirschblum for covering for me last week. I should have consulted with Arya of what the best way to compete with dinner on Tuesday night would be to bring in the crowds. But either way, we'll see what maybe if I'm good, we'll get the word out. People should stay in on Tuesday nights. Next week's New Year's too, so it's. Be next year already. We'll talk about that next week. Okay. We always have to make a point to know where we're standing. In the year to know what our Avodas Hashem should be. We spoke about this in VSS. This past Shabbos was the shortest. Was the shortest day of the year, as we spoke about in thoughts last week. So now the days are going to start getting longer, which is really Rav Mo likes to quote Rabbi Natan, who says that, you know, some people walk around saying that I don't want to change. I'll come for my year in Israel. You know, I'll get exposure to various Torah thoughts and Torah ideas. But you know, overall, I'm happy with who I am, and I don't want to change. And they think that that's the normal course of events. But Rabbi Natan says that's not natural, because if you look at Teva and if you look at nature, so the nature of the world is to change. We don't have, especially here, you see even every day is like all four seasons all packed into one in this country. But in general, even in America, we don't have just summer 365 or 354 days a year. We don't have winter constantly. We don't have fall constantly. The trees don't look the same. The same way every single day of the year. Everything in nature is always changing. The sun's position changes, the size of the moon changes, the tides change. Everything in nature always changes. And we're part of Teva, whether we like it or not. So the natural course of events for us would also be to say, I want to change. I want to be more natural. So the question is, especially at this time of year when we turned now to have more daylight, and daylight is associated with life. Night is associated with death. So what am I going to do now to make my life more life? What am I going to do to be living more, to make myself more constructive and productive? And specifically now, I don't know how many people know, but this week, Parsha Shemos starts normally what would be a 6-week process, but on a leap year, it's an 8-week process called Shovavim. Shovavim comes from a pasuk in Navi that says Shuvu Vanim Shovavim, it's a reference to how we should do tshuva and how we should return to Hashem. And if you take Shovavim is really what's the word I'm looking for? It's a not an acronym. It's an acronym? Is an acronym opposites? Synonyms and acronyms? Oh, antonyms. There's an acronym for Shemos, Va'era, Bo, Vishalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, Truma, Tetzaveh. So the next 8 weeks is this process. If you look in the Torah and you're following the parshas in the Torah, we're going from slavery towards Kabbalah Satorah and towards Halachos and building the Mishkan. So too in our own personal lives, we should be going from being slaves to things that are going on in our lives and materialistic things. And we should be moving ourselves during these weeks. Some people fast every Thursday of Shovavim. So that means this Thursday people will start fasting the whole day, so for Shemos, for Eira, and so on. It shouldn't affect your learning if you're not going to be able to learn as well. I mean, Thursday we don't really learn, so it's a good question about whether we should do it or not. The general frame of mind should be that I'm working towards Kabbalah Satorah and Parshas Yisro and acting out the halachas and Parshas Mishpatim. So not only are the days longer, and I should be looking for more productive life, but also I'm in this period now called Shovavim, where I should be focusing on what I could do to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of times this year I found, in previous years it wasn't this way, but it's a tribute to the guys who are in yeshiva this year, that people say, what are you going to talk about in thoughts? So usually I say, you know, I look around yeshiva and I comment on something that's been going on in yeshiva that maybe needs chizik. But this year, Not because people are the biggest Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim already, but we are only, you know, the end of December. But generally, the attitude and the environment in yeshiva has been fantastic, and people are growing, and there hasn't been really so much that needs comment on. But because of various situations in my house, and my morning schedule changed a little bit, and I have a thought to share about something that I saw going on in yeshiva it's really a tzibur project more than it is an individual project. But in order for a tzibur project to work, we need all the individuals to be hitting on all gears. Many of the stories that I get tonight come from the book Just One Word Amen. Of course, Rav Jake Vitamlansky has given me two very powerful stories that I'll share tonight, and I thank them for helping me out in tonight's thoughts. The altar of Navardak, he was a very holy Rebbe. Two people came to him and said they have a sick relative. What could the Rebbe please give us a bracha for Refuah Shleima? So the Rebbe said to them, well, you know, bracha is nice, but what you really should do is go to the yeshiva and hire two guys and have them say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba with proper kavana, and that'll be your segula. And they look at him and they're like, that's it? You know, everybody says Yehi Shmei Rabba. That's what I have to do, and I'll have a Refuah Shleima. Just give us a bracha. The bracha is the thing. So the Rebbe said, I don't understand. Chazal tell us that if you answer Yehi Shmei Rabba with a lot of kavana, so you'll get ripped up 70 years of bad decree. So what, you don't believe Divrei Chazal? You think that my bracha could rip up 70 years of bad decree? The Gemara says Yehi Shmei Rabba rips up 70 years of bad decree. So if you really want to have something effective, go hire somebody, have Yehi Shmei Rabba done properly. So this week I was able to daven in, I witnessed Shacharis for the first time this year in yeshiva. And it was very, attendance was fine, and it was a very fine davening, and probably by a lot of standards it was even a good davening. But I was a little bit astounded at the silence of the davening, and particularly during Chazaras HaShatz, and even more so as we just introduced specifically during Kaddish. And and I look around and I'm like seeing guys and everybody's, even there are a handful of, not more than a handful. Most people are even mumbling, that their lips are moving when the chazan gets up and says, Hashem, please return Yerushalayim, or please let's have peace. And there are people that actually, I saw people say an amen, but it was an amen while you stare now, we're staring at the very beautiful pole, and we're right on the verge of sharing something really funny with our friends, and then there's a whole assortment of different things that were going on during Chazaras HaShatz. So I said to myself, maybe it's Levat Torah. Maybe it's a quiet bunch. It's not such an excitable crowd, and it's not so rowdy. So it could be. Maybe that's the way it is. But I have a feeling. I mean, I've heard stories, and I've never witnessed it myself. I've heard if you go to let's say there's a football league, and then there's guys go to the football games. I heard one story that the ref blew a call, in a football game, and one of the guys came over to tell me how he exploded all over the ref, and he was very animated, and he showed me all the hand motions and and how much energy he put into yelling at the ref. And I'm thinking to myself, it's probably true. Let's say Zach Stern's like breaking down the sidelines, he's on his way to the end zone, he's got a wide open. I could see, I could see somebody running along the sidelines with him. Yeah, that's right. And when we score a touchdown, and you win the first half of the big game, I could see people getting excited and maybe actually breaking, the zero decibel level that we have sometimes when we say amen. So the question is, or if you, I was listening to the computer room and there was a, it seemed like there was a music video on in the computer room and I heard guys like singing with a loud voice. Or you know, somebody was listening to Smashing Something Pumpkins, and they I heard them. You know, I heard sound, and if you even look like really, you know, you could probably even see emotion. So it must be that this thing does, that this idea does exist. But the question is, so then how could it not happen when we're doing Chazaras HaShatz? So it's either one of two. So here I am, I'm thinking, I go, 12:30, I walk outside yeshiva, and I finish shir. I'm really tired, you know, I give a lot into shir, and the guys work hard, and I appreciate that. At least the guys in my shir. I mean, so I walk outside, and at 12:30, there's like a whole congregation. There's the first congregation, you know, right outside the doors, you know, right here. You know, there was something important going on today. What was it going? Something with the throwing something at the coffee machine. What were we throwing? The rubber band shooting. Thank you. The rubber band shooting at the coffee machine and at the. And then I walk further outside, you know, and then, you know, on good days you see, you have serious, poog shootouts, and, you know, and this guy's on the phone with that important phone call, you know, and it's like a whole yeshiva out there at 12:30. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm done at 12:30, must be that they're done at 12:30 also. But no, there's tefillah shir at 12:30. But it must be that you know, if everybody's outside at 12:30, it must be that everybody really understands what tefillah all is about. But then you come in here for Shacharis, and you look around at what's going on during Shacharis, and you're like, wait a second, maybe at 12:30 we shouldn't be outside. And listen, and I taught tefillah once, and it's not an easy class to be in. But if you have questions about tefillah that you don't understand about how exactly tefillah works, about why the Nefesh HaChaim says that when you say Amen, that Amen pierces right through every single sphere of heaven that we have and goes right to the Kisei HaKavod. So if we understood that, or really, you know, so if you understand that, okay, so then be outside at 12:30. But then it can't be that Shacharis was as dead as it is. So the other answer must be is that maybe we do understand tefillah, but maybe we just don't feel that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the room when we're davening. So there's I have a friend who was I guess you want to call it, he was like the minion monitor maybe I should speak to Rav Dudi about this. But he was the minion monitor of the high school that he was in, and they used to I guess you want to say it's called the demerits. If you disrupted davening, you did something wrong during davening. And there was a guy, you know, nobody wants to get a demerit, so he finished his Shmoneh Esrei, right? And he sat down and he put his head down. And the rabbi gave him a demerit. And the guy went ballistic. A demerit? What did I get a demerit for? And the rabbi said, because you disturbed davening. You disrupted the tefillah. And he's like, I disrupted the tefillah. I did anything but disrupt the tefillah. I was like so concerned about not disrupting. And this is where the tzibur comes in. So I said, you think that you put your head down in the middle of tefillah, you're not affecting what's going on in the tefillah? Guys are looking around, and I'm trying. I'm sitting here, and I'm struggling, and I'm trying to. It's not an easy thing to picture a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the room. And I'm sitting, and I'm struggling. I'm trying to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the room, a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the room. And I look around, you know, and then there's that guy with his, you know, he's slouched back in his chair like he's in, you know, in some kind of bar. And this guy's got his head down, and that guy's talking to his friend in the back, and this guy's picking his nose, and that guy's, you know, and everybody's doing their own thing. That doesn't affect the atmosphere in the Beis Medrash for davening. So that's disrupting. Because every single person has a role in creating the tone that we need in order to daven properly. Oh, but I don't want the guy to look at me weird. You know, if I actually answered Yehi Shmei Rav with Kavana, the guy next to me might actually say, you're giving me a headache, which happened. You're giving me a headache. So I don't want to ben adam l'chaveiro. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to chas v'shalom make somebody upset at me. So that's what we're afraid of. But if everybody in the tzibur was all, if we're pep rallying for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then of course, listen, you know, can you imagine you're at one of these, you know, you're at one of these concerts, like one of these like really, you know, one of these really rowdy ones, right? And everybody's like, you know, they're in like that big mosh pit right there in the middle, and everybody's like going crazy at the guy who's like half naked playing, you know, God knows what on his, you know, on his very I must have to live by secular music. And can you imagine like somebody? Listen, I'm sorry, Snake. You know, I know you're really into this, but you're giving me a headache. But Snake's the guy in the concert, you know, with the big tattoo. That of course not. No, of course not. But if the culture in the davening is, you know, let's make this a morgue, so then of course, you know, of course the dead guy next to you who doesn't want you to wake him up when you're answering Yehishmei Rab with Kavan is gonna say, you know, But that's really what, you know, there's Reb Beryl Wine tells a story. This is one of the Reb Jake stories that he told me, that Reb Beryl Wine says that one time he was late for his usual minyan, and there's a minyan factory in Shari Chesed called the Grushtibel, and he went into the grow, it was really, really late, and he goes into the grow, and he comes in, it's the last minyan, and he starts counting, Oshia es amecho avari chesed achasecho urein v'nasim ar. Oh, I made it, I'm the ninth guy. So he's getting ready to sit down and starting to learn while waiting for the 10th guy. And he looks in the front of the Beis Medrash. Who does he see? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And obviously this is years and years. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So he's thinking to himself, he's like, whoa, I'm davening with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who knows more Torah than probably the whole Yerushalayim put together, is sitting in this minyan. But he, Rav Tzadik Gadol Hador, he's nothing until that 10th guy walks in. That Joe Schmo, whoever he might be, the most regular of regular guys, could walk in as the 10th guy, and he is just as important. There's no such thing as he's a gadol, he's not a gadol when it comes to tzibur. Everybody's the same when it comes to tzibur. And the environment that we create in the tzibur, that's the environment that our tefillah is going to, that's the environment, that, the culture that we allow for is the way that our tefillah is going to, is where our tefillah is going to be. But that's really what Chazar is, Kedusha. Right, Kedusha, the halacha is, you're supposed to say Kedusha b'kol ram. Right, but what happens? You get a guy, you imagine. Well, let's picture it. You have a guy, and it gets up to Kedusha. Either one of the three Kedushas, by the way. And it gets up to Kedusha, and the guy screams. Because this is what the Malachim say. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Malach HaLaretz Kivah, with his eyes closed in Kavana. So what do? But it's Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. When we as a tzibur say Kadosh, so we get the Malachim upstairs to say Kadosh. That's what Chazal tell us. So that's a minor thing. You want the Malach who represents you, you want that Malach to be Kadosh, Kadosh. Thank you. That's what you want to be represented as, you know, upstairs. That davening is a pep rally for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh, Chonin Ados. Right, so what happens? Here you are, you imagine. Right, imagine your best friend, right, imagine Hillary Clinton is having like one of these like, you know, election rallies, right? And everybody, the guy gets up there and is like, and I'm gonna lower taxes. And I'm going to cut to whatever. I'm going to, you know, whatever she says that she does. In silence. So what happens? We come here, the chazan gets up there, and it's true, it's a responsibility on the chazan. And here I'll put in a little pitch at the way some people daven. That it's not about, let me just rattle through as many quickly as I can the words, you know, just to cover every single word. It's a little bit on the chazan that he's got to pep rally everybody a little bit. Right, so here we go. So you ask somebody, you know, what's the most important thing to you? Well, the most important thing is build the base of Medrash. Because if that's not your answer, so then you need to do a lot of work in yeshiva. So number one thing to me is, I want to build the base of Medrash. So here's the chazan, right? Twice a day he's saying it out loud. Right? So again, the chazan's got to do it right. Don't worry, we're going to get to you in a second. The chazan's got to do it right. Right? V'li Yerushalayim, Erecha Bracha, Mimtashav, Hashem, please return Yerushalayim. V'sishkon B'socha, and Hashem, you should live there. Quickly return to Chisei David. Baruch atah Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. Now, if you were God and you were looking at that, well, do you sense excitement for rebuilding Yerushalayim? Do you sense excitement for relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? And do I have to go through every single bar? I have a guy who's sick. I have a guy who's sick. And here the Chazan gets up there, and we all know somebody who's sick. The Chazan gets up there and he says, Refa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafeh. Hashem, please give a healing. Baruch atah Hashem. This is for the sick guy. Rafeh Cholei Amo Yisrael. Amen. At best. Or Achinu Kolbeis Yisrael Hanesunim. But everybody's ready. We're getting ready. We're getting ready till the Torah's coming back. Rabbi, you know there's an Amen at the end of that bracha. And inside that tefillah we say Uvashivya for all the captives. Right, so bring, you know, maybe let's bring Carney Goldwasser in here when we're saying Achinu Kolbeis Yisrael Hanesunim Batzara Uvashivya, and let her watch how many people care. We're so concerned about peace in Eretz Yisrael that when the Chazan gets up there and he's Sim Shalom, rah rah, Sim Shalom, everybody, let's do a Sim Shalom, right? And his Hamvarich is Amo Yisrael Bashalom, because we're not at risk of war or rockets falling all over the place. You know, oh, let's go to Sderot, because that'll it's important. Don't get me wrong, but that'll really do anything more than answering Amen to Hamvarich is Amo Yisrael Bashalom without worrying, am I going to get the right seat for Tachanun or not? Or Hamachazir Shekhinah Sol Tzion, Hashem, please return your Shekhinah to Tzion. That doesn't deserve a Amen. Or, you know, the pressure's on Greg because he says Kaddish. So what do you say in Kaddish? There's a story in the, I think Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think, says the Ramah quotes this, that that when you say, you know, you say that what's going to happen at the end of days? What's going to happen? So Hashem's up there. He's given a shear. Hashem's given a shear, some kind of a Shiach Torah. And you know, the zodiac is up there, and the sun is up there, and the moon is up there, and the malachim are up there, and everybody's up there. And Hashem finishes the shear. And what happens at the end of a shear? So somebody's got to say Kaddish. And somebody's got to say Kaddish. So the legend goes that Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel will get up and say Kaddish. It'll be heard in the whole planet. They're going to hear this Kaddish. And then all of a sudden, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah, which, by the way, means, in case maybe we don't know, Yiskadel, let his name be great. Yiskadash, and let his name be holy. Shmei Rabbah is holy name. And everybody's going to say Amen. And even the people in Gehenna, it says, are going to say Amen. And the Amen's going to rock the entire, everything that exists. And Hashem's going to be like, whoa, that was a crazy Amen. What was all that ruckus? And somebody's going to say, oh, those were all the people in Gehenna saying Amen to Yehi Shmei, to Shmei Rabbah. And Hashem's like, the people in Gehenna said Amen to Shmei Rabbah? He says to Michal and Gabriel, you know, you should go down there, you should get all those people out, and they're going to go and open the 8,000 gates of Gehenna, and they're going to start one by one pulling everybody out of Gehenna. Because the Gemara in Shabbos says, Kol ha'one Amen b'kol kocho. If you answer Amen with all your strength, Poschino Shari Gan Eden. The gates of Gan Eden will be open for you. If you answer Amen with all your strength, gates of Gan Eden. Listen, again, you could choose. Maybe this is not, maybe gates of Gan Eden aren't important to you. Or maybe Kol mi she'ona Amen b'olam hazeh. Anybody who answers Amen in Olam hazeh, Zochalanos Amen Lasid Lavo. So he's the one who's going to answer Amen Lasid Lavo. And don't think, oh, the same way that other religions, they say prayers, we say grace, and then afterwards we say amen. It's not amen. Kel Melech Ne'aman, which is what Amen stands for, is not amen. Kel Melech Ne'aman is an affirmation that I believe that Hashem is the most faithful. That I believe that Hashem's got power and he's faithful to do what's just in the world and for his love for me. That's Amen. And we should say that quietly. We should say that without kavana. So then Greg says, "Bi'alma divrachi rusei v'yamlich malchusei." That God, whose name are we making great, the one that in your world, that in the world that you created, b'chayechon uv'yomechon, that in your, talking about us, I think, that in our lifetimes, in our life and in our days, v'chayeh dechol beis Yisrael ba'agala uv'zman kariv, that we should see quickly. But in our times, by a goal of his mind, soon, we should see soon, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Li'olam Lomei Omaya. I know that my aspiration is to be alive when the Gula is going to come. Is that your aspiration? Because that's what we're saying Yehei Shmei for. And if you want to declare to Hashem that you're serious about it, so you're going to mumble it? Are you going to complain that the next guy is too loud for you? Or are we going to create a culture here where it's acceptable to affirm that God's king of the world and that we want Geula as quickly as possible? So in this time of Shuviv, as a tzibur, and you know, and there are a lot of people not here, but maybe we should pass on the message. And if you're afraid to tell somebody, you could just do it by action. Because people will catch on pretty quickly that when all of a sudden Baruch Hu is the loudest it's ever been before, or Shema Yisrael has been the loudest it's been before, or Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh is like it's never been seen ever in any yeshiva, or Amens, oh, but with so many Amens, right? So many Amens to answer twice a day, Chazaras HaShatz, you know, 8-19 times, and all the Kaddishes, that's crazy. So we're talking about a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu here. It's like, what's going to happen? If like you know, if you need to do something, you know, what are you gonna tell your wife one day? Listen, you know, I love you dearly, but I just need, you know, I'm not gonna love you today because I need the day off. Don't do that. So what are you gonna? Yeah, it's day in and day out, but it's relationship that we're talking about here. And ask yourself whether the things that we're doing and the way that we behave in davening, whether that has integrity, and whether it makes sense, and whether we're showing Hashem that we really care about anything that's going on in the middle of our discussion with Him. Yiratzom Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us realize the power of our tefillah, the significance of our tefillah, and that He should help us gain our own integrity when dealing with Him, specifically when it comes to Amen, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. Amen.